Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Nanosonics Full Year Results Conference Call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star key, then one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Michael Kavanagh, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and a very good morning, everybody, and thank you all for joining the call. I am joined here in Sydney by McGregor Grant, our CFO. Well, by now you will have seen our full year results, which were posted earlier this morning, and the 2018 financial year has been another great year of ongoing achievement and progress across all aspects of the Nanosonics business as we continue to establish our trophon technology as standard of care through ongoing strong installed base growth, and importantly, making a number of foundational investments to support our longer-term strategic growth agenda. I'll bring you through a couple of key highlights for the year, then a bit of an overview of the regions, and then I'll open up for some questions. So moving to some of the key highlights, well, as I mentioned, we did have continued strong install-based growth of the trophon technology, and the global installed base increased 25% to 17,740 units by June 30th. And that includes 26% growth in North America, where the installed base there at June 30 reached 15,620. And very pleasingly, 49% growth in Europe to 730 units. Certainly there was positive momentum continuing in the United Kingdom with the installed base of managed equipment service units, or our MES units, growing 146% year on year, and I'll come back to the UK shortly. And very importantly, the fundamentals for ongoing adoption of trophon, they continue to strengthen internationally, and particularly in Europe, with a number of new guidelines and supporting studies released during the year, and particularly in the second half of the year, and more anticipated again this coming financial year. Our next generation trophon technology, our trophon 2, which sets a whole new standard of care, received earlier than anticipated regulatory approval in North America and Europe in April and June respectively. And this is a great testimony to the experience of our regulatory team and quality of our regulatory submission. Being earlier than anticipated, we were not ready for commercial launch at the time of approval, as we had just commenced the introduction into manufacturing in April. But manufacturing for this device is now fully up and running, and we have just commenced the commercial launch of the product this month, as was announced to the ASX recently. So total sales for the year were 60.7 million or 62.2 million in constant currency. And whilst these sales were down on prior year, they do need to be looked at in the context of a number of important points, including a transitionary reduction in capital revenue, which was associated with the earlier than anticipated regulatory approval of trophon 2. And this reduction in revenue, of course, was foreshadowed in the ASX announcement that we made in April when we announced the FDA approval of trophon 2. And it's very much associated with distributors running down their inventory of trophon EPR as they in the market prepare to transition across to trophon 2. And of course, in addition, with any new product being announced, a number of customers defer purchase until they see this new product, which we certainly have experienced. And of course, we also now have a broadening number of selling models internationally, each with different revenue profiles that need to be considered, including our managed equipment service in the UK, where a growing number of trophon units were placed this year with no upfront capital revenue recognized. And likewise, we had an increase in the rental models as well, so we don't get that upfront recognition of capital revenue with those models. The business, of course, is all about growth in the installed base, which we saw very nice growth, and then the ongoing annuity revenue that comes from this installed base associated with sales of consumables and service. And these sales of consumables and service were up 25% in the year to 35.2 million or 36 million in constant currency. So overall, the resulting operating profit before tax was 5.6 million, reflecting not only the revenue profile, as I just explained, but also an increase in OPEX of just over 15% or 5.6 million as we continue to make strategic investments in our growth strategy across the business. At June 30, our cash reserves were 69.4 million. That was up from 63 million at June 30, 2017. And this strong balance sheet continues to support an active growth strategy that we are implementing as a business. And then as part of our geographical expansion goals during the year, we did appoint a business development manager for the European Middle East region, where we have now signed a number of new distribution agreements in the Middle East and also have active programs underway in Kuwait, Israel, as well as negotiations underway in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And we also now have active programs in Scandinavia and exploring opportunities in Iberia. In Japan, as previously noted, FY18 was very much positioned as a year of market development, in particular as Japan does not have high-level disinfection guidelines or requirements in place. And a key element of this market development was to conduct a local clinical trial to explore the levels of microbial contamination on ultrasound probes. And this study recently commenced at Jichi Medical Center, which is a large influential center in Tokyo. And whilst the study is not complete, and we hope to have everything complete by the end of this first quarter, the preliminary data is demonstrating very similar rates of microbial contamination on probes as identified in other international studies, which should definitely then support the development of high-level disinfection guidelines in Japan. And importantly, the business continued to make strategic investments in our new product development program, with further increased investment anticipated in FY19. And these new products achieved the milestones we had planned during the year. And as previously mentioned, we are targeting one or more new infection prevention solutions by the end of FY20, of course, all subject to regulatory approval. So there are just some of the key highlights for FY18, a very busy year indeed. But just a few comments on some of the regional operations, and then I'll open to questions. So in North America, very pleasingly, the strong adoption of Trophon continued during the year, and the installed base there grew 26%, up from 12,400 units to 15,620 units, or an increase of 3,220 units for the year. Of course, because of the earlier announcement of Trophon 2 in April, customers will have deferred purchases until its availability, and we certainly did experience that. And importantly, I think, to put this installed base into context, now today in the United States, approximately, just today alone, approximately 47,000 ultrasound procedures will have been trophoned, or even more importantly, what that means is 47,000 patients will have been protected from the risk of cross-contamination because their probe was actually trophoned. And it's also great that Trophon is now in all of the top 50 hospitals in the U.S. And pretty much all luminary sites in the U.S. And today, overall, Trophon's in approximately 5,000 hospitals and clinics combined. But there's now the opportunity to increase the number of units per facility as we go deep into all relevant departments in these hospitals and clinics. So overall, there's still very much a big opportunity ongoing in North America, where we believe the overall total market opportunity is in the region of 40,000 units. So currently, we're approximately 40% market penetrated and growing quite nicely. And while overall sales were down in the region, and that was primarily associated with reduction in capital equipment, which I've already explained, The revenue associated with consumables and services was up 22%. During the year, as part of our ongoing investments, we appointed a new regional president for the region, Mr. Ken Shaw, and he was appointed in the first half to lead our growing North American operations, and significant investment has been made in that region, with North American resources headcount growing to 55 people across sales, clinical applications, service, finance, and distribution functions. And this investment is to support the ongoing growth of Trophon and also set up the necessary infrastructure for the introduction of planned new products. And very importantly, at the very end of the financial year in June, an important study was published in the American Journal of Infection Control, or AJIC. And this study, which was conducted through the University of Louisville, it surveyed infection preventionists nationally to identify surface ultrasound probe use across hospital departments and then the disinfection practices for these probes. And what the results of the study revealed was that there was extensive use of surface ultrasound across a vast range of procedures and departments within the hospital system. However, there was significant non-compliance with guidelines for reprocessing these surface probes. And the study, which was published, as I mentioned, in the peer-reviewed American Journal of Infection Control, it concluded that there's an urgent need to review policies within the hospital to ensure best practice for patient safety. And we see this very much as a really important cornerstone for our ongoing growth, because data like this supports what we internally call our Go Wide, Go Deep strategy, where the objectives of Go Wide are to have Trophon placed in all relevant hospitals, which we're doing a great job with, but the objectives of Go Deep is to ensure that Trophon is in all relevant departments that are doing semi-critical procedures, and that is a key focus for our sales force. And moving on to Europe, well, FY18 was a really important year as we saw the introduction of a number of important new guidelines in the second half of the year, which would further stimulate growth in this region. You know, we had guidelines published from the European Society of Radiology, the British Medical Ultrasound Society, and the German Medical Ultrasound Society, or DAGUM. And in addition, a very pivotal study was published by Health Protection Scotland, which demonstrated a very clear link between improper endocavity ultrasound probe disinfection and increased infection risk. So this was a population-based study that's really relevant internationally. And what the results showed there was for patients who, that there was 41% more likely to have a positive bacterial cultures and 26% more likely to be prescribed antibiotics 30 days after a transvaginal scan when the probe was not high-level disinfected. And the numbers were even worse for transrectal scans. So as I say, this is like a population epidemiological type study that has relevance internationally, and there's ongoing education as a result of that study taking place internationally now. The installed base in Europe, that was grew quite nicely, up 49% to 730 units, and overall revenue in Europe grew 77%. With sales from consumables and service up 100%. And that often, I guess, that does reflect the MES, or the Managed Equipment Service program that we do have in the UK, where there was ongoing strong adoption of 146% year-on-year in MES units in the UK. And as a reminder, under the MES program, Trophon capital equipment, which is owned by Nanosonics and remains on Nanosonics' books, is placed in the hospitals, and the facility pays an all-inclusive price for consumables in return for the use and maintenance of the capital equipment. And as I mentioned, the sales and consumables from consumables and service was up 100% in Europe. In Germany, in April, we saw a new guidance from the German Medical Ultrasound Society. And this guidance now, along with the launch of Trophon 2 that delivers a number of very specific requirements for the German market, we expect to stimulate good demand in Germany in FY19. And in France, we also expect in FY19 the Ministry of Health to release guidelines for high-level disinfection. And this is on the back of the growing number of European guidelines, but also the results of a number of local studies, such as that from the French Urology Association, which identified that only 22% of respondents actually comply with decontamination requirements for transrectal probes. So a very big opportunity over there, and we're just awaiting those guidance from the Ministry of Health. And as I already mentioned, during the year, we did, as part of our geographical expansion, appoint European Business Development Manager John Stocks, and active programs are currently in place now in the Nordics as part of our European expansion strategy, as well as the Middle East, including Kuwait, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. And finally, moving on to the Asia-Pacific region, well, in Australia and New Zealand, as you know, Trophon has already achieved high market penetration, which is a great demonstration of what's possible when guidelines are in place. And the installed base did continue to grow during the year, and where there's now about approximately nearly 1,400 units in the region, and sales for the region were 3.3 million with revenue associated with consumables and service up 22% to 2.8 million. And the key focus here in Australia now is the marketing activities are very much focused on ensuring all semi-critical ultrasound probes, that's all those, including all those surface transducers, get disinfected in accordance with all the local guidelines, which will further drive consumables revenue growth moving forward. The Trophon 2 has not yet received regulatory approval from the TGA, but that is currently all submissions were made. We're just awaiting those approvals. But once approved, it will launch immediately as the product is available from our manufacturing. And in Japan, as mentioned there, during the year, we did progress our engagements with all relevant key opinion leaders and societies, but the most important thing was to commence the local Japanese study on microbial contamination and probes. And as I mentioned, whilst the study is should complete in the coming weeks, some of the preliminary data is definitely demonstrating very similar rates of microbial contamination on these probes as identified in other international studies. And this data then will be leveraged with the key opinion leaders and societies for the development and generation of guidelines in Japan. So a lot going on internationally for the company. In terms of outlook, well, in FY19, we expect continued positive growth in the installed base in North America, with FY19 adoption similar to FY18. We also expect GE North America to rebuild inventory of capital equipment upon launch of the Trophon 2. And with launch of the Trophon 2, whilst not a major focus, we do expect to see some upgrades from our Trophon EPR device, especially for those units that are 5 years old and 5 years plus of age, which are an important target for those upgrades. Adoption in Europe, we expect that to continue to grow nicely now, especially on the back of all these new guidelines and the introduction of Trophon 2. In the UK, we're targeting new unit growth of 75 to 100% over FY18, of which we believe that the majority of that will be very much skewed towards the managed equipment service model. The new guidelines in Germany from DGUM, in addition to the introduction of Trophon 2, should stimulate much broader adoption now in Germany. And we do expect new guidelines coming from the Ministry of Health in France. And in addition, as part of our geographical expansion, we'll also exploring introduction into other markets, in particular in Scandinavia and a number of the Middle Eastern markets that I've already mentioned. We do expect the results of the Japanese study in early Q2 this year, and also the submission for trophon2 to the Japanese authorities is almost ready for submission, so we do expect approval for our trophon2 device in Japan by the end of FY19. And of course, we do also expect to have continued investment in growth with our FY19 operating expenses expected to be approximately $53 million, including approximately $13 million in R&D, the majority of that directed towards new product development. And beyond FY19, there are a number of important triggers for our ongoing growth. As mentioned before, we have in July 2019, our distribution agreement with GE Healthcare in the U.S. will change to a capital reseller model, and that will result in a material increase in both sales and margin from consumables in North America from 2019. We do expect continued growth in a broader set of markets, and then certainly in all core markets as new guidelines continue to be released, and also a big focus on the requirements for high-level disinfection of all semi-critical probes. And there's a lot of educational activities happening internationally now to make sure that is very much understood and adopted. And of course, the ongoing development of our new infection prevention solutions, where we are targeting one or more new products by the end of FY20, subject to regulatory approval. So a lot of very positive indicators for the business moving forward. So I'll stop there now and open to any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star key, then one on your phone and wait for your name to be announced. The first question today comes from Elyse Shapiro of Wilsons. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the question. Just wondering if you could comment on the ASP of trophon in the U.S. in the second half, and is that similar to what you saw in the first half?
Look, the ASP in the second half, certainly in the final quarter, cognizant of the fact with the trophon2, we did a number of deals with the trophon EPR and a number of promotional deals with the trophon EPR, which would have had the ASP slightly below the first half, but that was a transitionary thing, and not something that we're planning on continuing.
Got it. And can you comment a bit on the sales mix in the U.S.? Did direct sales grow PCP?
Yes, direct sales for the business in North America did increase, yes.
Okay. Can you give any colors to the amount?
So we've not broken out direct versus GE sales, but needless to say, as our investments in our direct business continues to grow, well, then the ratio of GE sales, and that's GE growth in installed base to our direct business growing the installed base, that's beginning to change and certainly our direct business did grow over the last 12 months.
So did GE sales decline?
So GE, well, the overall installed base came down for the reasons already explained, and by virtue of the fact ours increased, theirs came down a little bit.
All right. Thanks for taking the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Matthias Smith of Canaccord. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Michael and McGregor. Good result, and certainly in line with the guidance of the various drivers you've been providing, so that's been helpful. I guess just a few questions I have. Firstly, in terms of GE's inventory, do they still have a lot of trophon ones, or have they managed to clear most of those out during this quarter?
They had a significant, if we look at the inventory holding at the end of the last financial year compared to this year, they had a significant reduction in inventory, Matthias. And so we're very much expecting in the coming, you know, 3 to 6 months to hold all that inventory by GE.
Okay, so they still have a few of the old units that they'll be looking to place over the next 3 to 6 months.
Oh yes, I mean, and I think we've not to make it clear, we've not obsoleted the Trophon EPR. Whilst we expect over time that the majority of units that are sold will transition across to the Trophon 2 device, there'll still be potentially a segment of the market that will continue to adopt the EPR. So, for example, hospitals that already have a large fleet of EPRs and just need a small number, well, then they may continue just with the EPR. Compared to hospitals that have a small number of EPRs and now need to get a large number of new Trophons as they expand into other departments, they may very well transition over to Trophon 2. And of course, we expect in part of our go-wide strategy, any new hospitals that don't have Trophon at all, well, then the weighting there should definitely be towards Trophon 2. But time will tell with that. We need a few months. We're only officially 2 weeks into it. We need a few months experience to see what that transition profile is going to look like.
Sure. And in terms of launching T2, I mean, are you putting it out at a premium given that it's got all these new and fantastic features?
No, it's certainly out there at a price premium, and that's on the basis, as you say, very much so associated with all the new features that are built into the Trophon 2. And look, we are getting very, very positive response. I mean, I'm sort of tracking what we're seeing on social media. There was a very nice one in, yes, I just looked it up now, and if I can quote, there was an infection preventionist who stated on social media saying, "I've always been a fan of Trophon, and I have to say that I'm blown away with this upgrade. Sending probe and disinfection info straight to a patient's record is simply amazing and the ultimate in patient safety." So, you know, those sort of comments are coming through now on social media, and especially as the team are out there educating customers about this new product. But all early indicators are customers are very, very pleased with the new technology and new features and benefits that it brings to them.
I might need to upgrade myself. A couple of questions around the transition to GE becoming a reseller. I guess the first one relates to the capital units. You said you expect them to be purchasing more units during this financial year, but presumably as of 1st of July next year, they won't be wanting to carry much inventory. So most of the stuff that they purchase this year, they'd be looking to place during the financial year. Is that a reasonable assumption?
I think GE... are a very important and valued partner of Nanosonics, and you know, we continue to work very much together, and they see ongoing opportunity and also, you know, realize that Trophon is the best solution for their customers. So even beyond July 2019, I think the Trophon capital will still play an important part for GE, or, you know, we also expect GE to be prudent about their working capital management in terms of how they do manage inventory throughout this year and the years beyond. But this year, certainly they did run down their inventory quite a lot, leading up to the end of June. So certainly we expect that rebuild of inventory, but likewise we expect that inventory just to keep turning over as they continue to grow their installed base as well.
Okay, and second question around that transition in terms of consumables, are you able to give us any indication as to what proportion of the consumables you're selling versus GE? And secondly, once that transition happens, would you be expecting the majority of consumable sales, if not all of them, to be handled directly by Nanosonics?
Yeah, look, we've not spoken out specifically the GE installed base versus the direct installed base. But needless to say, of the 15,500 units or so in the United States, a large percentage of that still is GE, considering the period of time they've been on the market and versus Nanosonics direct operations coming into place. So there is a large percentage of that 15,500 or 15,600 units, with GE. In terms of the consumables, time will tell, but effectively, what our expectation is that whilst GE will, there may be certain strategic customers that GE will want to continue to provide consumables to, and they've got the capability to, for ongoing provision of consumables to all their installed base. It's just the price that the transfer price that we will be charging GE for those consumables will increase. So over time, we'll get a feel as to what percentage of the GE installed base will be serviced directly from Nanosonics versus GE, but irrespective, there'll still be a material increase in revenue and margin for Nanosonics because of taking that price.
Okay, and that would pretty much, kick in as straight away as anything straight away happens in FY19.
Correct. I mean, a lot make, depending on how much inventory of consumables GE is holding at that point in time, but certainly transition in across FY20 without a doubt.
And two quick ones. One, you've provided numbers around the number of patients who have been protected every year. Just doing some really dumb maths of taking that and dividing it by the number of units. So we're looking at, still around 3.5 procedures per machine per day as the underlying rate. Yep.
Correct.
Okay, and the final thing, the increase in SG&A, is that, which is up 19%, $5 million this year, is that primarily expansion of the sales effort, or is it a combination of that and also overhead at head office?
Oh, it's primarily expansion of the sales office, sales infrastructure for the business, yeah. I mean,
okay.
Obviously, as the business grows, there's some, back office that needs to take place as well, but it is primarily focused externally out in the regions.
Okay, well, that's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kavanagh. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, again, thank you all for your participation in the call, and we look forward to continuing to deliver positive results for everybody. Thanks a lot.